There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Hi, I'm Bowen from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Matt from Las Culturistas. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship?
Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business.
You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes. Oh,
my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Happy birthday to my sister.
Thank you, my beloved.
34.
What a bizarre age to turn.
Yeah, what's 34 giving?
34 is giving sort of neither here nor there. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't even know what to feel about it. Because you're not in your, well, I guess I'm in my mid-30s. I'm in my mid-30s, Bo.
Sure. I mean, watch Adele come out with her next album, 34. Then that number will mean something.
Yeah, then we'll know how to feel.
I don't know how to feel.
Like, remember Billie Eilish? There's so many incredible singers saying incredible things if you really just listen. And that's actually Real Culture number 10.
There's so many incredible singers saying incredible things if you really just listen. I am just celebrating you. I feel like I celebrate you every day.
I feel that from you, sister, and I celebrate you as well. It is my number one joy in life, watching you thrive, shine, and conquer.
And more.
And more. Thrive, shine, and more.
Thrive, shine, and more.
Conquer! Let's not get dictatorish on them.
Oh, not in the year 2024.
No, hon. It's actually election day. I am stomping to the voting booth after this to cast my vote for Barbara Lee for Senate.
Barbara.
Ms. Barbara, icon. Progressive champion, and we will do our best over here in California to vote. Are you voting in New York? No.
It's not primary day in New York.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm so California. I'm so LA, only thinking about myself. Like, if it's primary day for me, it must be primary day for everyone else. Oh, shut up, Matt.
No, our primaries are not, for president, are not until April.
Oh yeah, I guess you guys vote in a presidential primary. I don't even know, girl.
Girl, I am just giving it up to God.
I'm voting local, making that change.
Thank you. Do you see Taylor put out her, you know, once a term voting registration call to action?
Did she? Wait, I have to see this.
Which we blessed today in the tortured poets department.
Yeah.
Sort of aesthetic.
Okay, so she let everyone know. Everyone vote. Also, like, sort of still have an album coming out. No, don't forget that one.
But bless for making those things converge, having those things happen at the same time. This is not me being snarky. Why would I be snarky?
I don't think you have any reason to be. Not being as on top of the world as you are, having just fucked Sydney Sweeney and all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I've shifted a little bit down on the Kinsey scale. No lie.
You definitely seem straight to me. And I have been saying it for such a long time. Like, my thing, like, my traitor's moment right now is me saying, I do think you're straight, Bowen. And I think you've been straight this whole time. And I think that you're gay for clout, laughs, and...
attention.
And attention. First and foremost, what everything you do is for attention.
You know what? The MR Asians are right. There is a conspiracy in Hollywood for Asian men to be effeminate so that they can escape persecution, because I'm never persecuted in my daily life as a gay Asian man.
I don't
man.
See you persecuted. I really don't see you persecuted.
No,
I
never.
See you skating by. I yeah. see you enjoying a life free of criticism and persecution.
That makes so much sense.
You're like Ghislaine in the woods, safe.
Yeah, and they got her. So you're my Sheree, I'm Phaedra. You're Sheree being like, look me in the eye.
Whoa, drag my ass.
That is not a drag. You know my feelings about Sheree Whitfield.
I know you love Sheree.
I think she's one of our best housewives, period, ever.
She definitely is pretty fabulous.
She's one of our best.
So let's talk traitors, shall we?
Yeah.
Phaedra, they got you, gal.
They got you. They got you. But you had a good run and you did what you set out to do, which is... betray,
yeah,
and make iconic television. And check, we got both.
We didn't even talk about when Alan asked her who she wanted to recruit, and she said, Kate. And then she goes, we'll be a murdering duo. I was like, you
are...
That
didn't get enough pickup.
No, it didn't get nearly enough pickup, especially for something that was such a scream.
Kate,
we'll be a murdering duo. I was like, are you... She might be a supervillain.
Cast Phaedra in a Disney movie. Pat Carroll.
She would be a great evil queen.
She would be a great evil queen. Like, I mean, she's our generation's Pat Carroll. Make her an Ursula-like villain.
That's really good. Phaedra Parks is our generation's Pat Carroll. That's actually Rule of Culture number 30. Phaedra Parks is our generation's Pat Carroll. Oh, now I'm picturing her doing Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Well, I admit, in the past, I've been nasty.
Okay.
They weren't kidding.
When they called me.
Well, a witch. Now, tell us all about this. I still love that for you. Reading last night that you did.
Oh, this was really fun, you guys. So last night in LA, well, Vanessa Bayer had reached out probably a couple months ago and was like, you know, there's a whole second season of I Love That For You that's written, you know, Sudie Green, Gabe Liedman, so many of our friends wrote on the second season of the show and they were so excited about it. And it looked like it was going to get picked up. And then the strike wasn't, everything going on in our industry, blah, blah, blah. So it's just like, I don't know where it stands right now, but Vanessa was like, we're all going to get together and just read the first two episodes of season two. The whole cast was there and they donated the money to charity and it was really fun. Kristen Johnston came in and played like a guest part. That is maybe the funniest person alive. Like, what a bazooka on stage she is.
Yep.
Holy fuck. And like, when I heard she was coming, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, if there was like a missing element from our show, that was so it. And like, it was so much fun. When I tell you, like, the cast crushed because the writers crushed.
Yeah.
Like, great audience. Everyone there loved the show. And everyone involved in the show loves doing the show. So, you never say never. It's one of those things. I was really excited about what my character was doing and, like, what everyone
Darcy.
Was doing. But it's just one of those things. You know how it is?
Yeah.
I will say, like, it's frustrating. Like, the whole... business is frustrating right now.
The whole landscape is pretty rotten right now. It's true.
It's pretty bleak.
And I think an indicator of that is what this show means to people, and yet how it kind of, it's living in this purgatory right now that it shouldn't be in at all.
Well, this is my theory about it all. So I feel like people didn't really see it on Showtime. Because it was a very crowded time. Like, do you remember? It's so funny to think of a time when there was, like, so much shit coming out. But it was, like, 2 years ago. It was, like, for some reason, from, like, March to May, like, every show came out.
Yeah.
Like, and we were part of that. Remember, we came out in, like, April or something. I think it was, like, there was, like, an influx of things that came out before the Emmys deadline. And I think we kind of got lost in that because, you know, just to put it bluntly, like, not everyone has Showtime. It can be difficult to find, etc. And so it kind of got lost. And then it was like frustrating because I felt like in the months since it was out, people were finding it.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my God, we just watched I Love That For You. We love it. We binged it. I actually think it would have been a better binge show than it was like a week-to-week show.
Agree.
There was just so many things about it, like calls about it made that obviously I have nothing to do with that I think could have, you know, helped it. But at the end of the day, like, it's so good. And I just think, if anything, it should be somewhere for people to find it. And that shitty thing happened, which is that Showtime and I guess now Paramount Plus with Showtime or whatever the fuck it is, took it down. Or, you know, the big bosses, I guess, like, did that tax break thing about it. And now you can't even see it unless you buy it on iTunes, which I recommend everyone do. And I just hope the show gets put somewhere where people can find it. Because if people can find it, they're going to like it.
Right. Well, guess what I'm doing right now? I am buying season one.
You are?
I am going on my Apple TV.
And you already have gotten me a gift. It's just such a funny show. You guys, it's Vanessa Bayer, Molly Shannon, Jennifer Lewis, a great cast. I mean, like, it's just so funny. Like, and I'll tell you, this second season that we were reading yesterday was even funnier and like more compelling than the first season because they found a really interesting way to settle into the workplace dynamic of it all. For people that don't know the show, it's like Vanessa Bayer plays this girl who all she's ever wanted was to work at the Home Shopping Network. When she was little, she had cancer, which is based on a true story from Vanessa's life. And she survived it by watching, like, you know, the Home Shopping Network. And she gets old enough to audition for it, gets the job, and then fucks it up. And in order to keep her job and, like, prove to them she has, like, an on-air hook and that she's a star and has star quality, she lies and says she's battling cancer now. So then she has to, like, keep this lie up.
Kind of like me being gay on SNL.
Exactly. Like, you being gay. Like, when did you know that it was time for you to come clean?
I remember in my screen test, my wrist kind of got really weak. God, I had a really limp wrist, and it wasn't for a character.
From carrying the prop bag?
It was the prop bag. It was my prop bag. I had so many props. I had 5 duffel bags of props.
And you have heavy props, too.
Oh, yeah. They're all kettlebells.
Yeah.
I have kettlebell barista, and then I also have kettlebell Korean person, kettlebell Chinese person.
Yeah.
So it was all my characters were very kettlebell-based, and so I just lugged all of those bags onto the stage during my screen test, and my wrist got weak.
Yeah.
And then I hear Lorne Michaels in the shadows guffawing.
Yeah.
Going, ha, 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 and that Lorne laugh.
Yeah, he... it was clear to you that what he thought was so funny was that you were a big gay guy.
Something flipped. Yes, something flipped where I was like, I guess I gotta be a fucking queer.
Lean in like our foremother, Sheryl Sandberg.
Sheryl Sandberg. Now, I'm sorry, I interrupted you talking about your amazing show.
You did not. You did not interrupt me. I was kind of done. Watch I Love That For You however you can. And if you love the show, stay in line.
Stay in line. Can I just quickly say something about Kristen Johnson?
Yeah, please. Oh, let's talk about her.
A formative comedy moment in The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Oh.
Ivana Humpalot.
Forget it.
Ivana Humpalot was one of my first formative movie cry laughs. I was like, oh my God, that's the... Ivana Humpalot was the funniest thing I'd ever seen or heard in my life up until that point.
It takes a keen intellect to play chess, Mr. Powers.
Yes!
I assume you know how to play.
That line...
Make love to me, Austin Powerovich. No, oh, keen intellect to play chess, intellect. Mr. Powers. Me and my cousin Michael, who I've referenced on this podcast, we were like little boys together, like watching this movie. We also saw Mean Girls together. That was our shit. Ivana Humpalot was our...
Ivana Humpalot.
When did you get the clapper? November 1964. Oh my God.
I was just talking to our good friend Cameron Sheets, who is at Queerity now.
Judy!
Wait, what'd you say?
I said Judy. Whenever you say a gay guy, we both know I'm going to say Judy!
Judy!
I'm just deciding it right now.
Jill Kim Booster.
Judy!
He was asking me, I'm promoting Hot White High Season 2 on Audible. He goes, what makes a good sequel? I said, oh, I don't know. Well, and then we were talking about like what good sequels were. And then his formative example was Austin Powers and The Spy Who Shagged Me. That is like an actually great sequel that is aware of like the already self-referential first like original story, but also then kind of like plays with it in such a funny way. I mean, God, I love that movie so much.
That's an interesting topic. What makes a really amazing sequel? Like, what are the rubrics? Like, what are the benchmarks of a great sequel? I guess you want it to feel familiar,
yes,
but also like we're seeing the characters challenged in a new way. And like, I guess new environments make a good sequel.
Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle.
That was just on the other day, actually.
Camp classic. I hope everyone realizes now that it's camp.
Oh, totally. I think people get it. Like,
these women swing from string lights all the way from Hollywood to a warehouse in downtown LA in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, they do.
In a car chase scene, they go from Hollywood Boulevard to DTLA. Hilarious camp classic.
I mean, the other day I had it on for like a second, and it was the scene where they are like down at the beach and they're like surfing, and it's like where Demi Moore like first comes in and she like runs over with her surfboard and
to Surfer Girl by the Beach Boys. Yeah.
Yeah. Just all the choices are so, it's almost like a cartoon.
Yeah. It's so good.
I think that people did not, and then I remember the reviews were like, we don't know. Like it was bizarre. Like it seemed like people got the first Charlie's Angels and then willfully didn't get the second one as if it was anything different. It's like,
right.
It was just literally like a sequel version of the first one. They gave you more of what you had. And also they plussed it with Demi. I guess that's what it is, right? Like a sequel should just be plussed in a way.
But then people don't like that. An audience kind of like sneers at that idea, even though that is what you want. I think people's expectations of sequels are a little bit all over the place. And that's why like there is this disagreement on what makes a good one.
Yeah. I think that's probably true.
But that's my first example.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I guess if I had like a favorite sequel of all time. Well, the Austin Powers movies are interesting because like all three of those, I think, are like identifiable in their own way. And maybe this is just me being a gay person. And I, by the way, I'm for real gay. Like,
so am I.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyways,
we can't get into this. Are you about to say Goldmember is your favorite?
Well, I'm saying that, like, the thing about the Austin Power trilogy is that they're all so identifiable. And I think me, because I'm a gay person, the thing that does that for me is, like, Austin's girlfriend.
Yes, yes.
Like, Elizabeth Hurley.
Heather Graham.
And Beyonce. Like, those three couldn't, those are so indicative of what all those movies are. And they bring their own, like, flavor to it and aesthetic to it. To the point where, like, you know, you think of Austin Powers, but then he has context because of all these different women and then therefore these different like vibes, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Beyonce and Goldmember is so good.
Producer Becca says Beyonce's acting era was so special. I love Goldmember. I don't think you're alone there, Becca. I think that we may not have seen the end of Beyonce's acting era.
Yeah, I think this past tense is not quite right. I hope, I pray and I hope.
There's something about it that makes me feel like she at some point may realize if she actually applies herself to whatever she wants, she can conquer it, world domination. And it really just depends with Beyonce, I think, on what she wants. Like, if she wants to become an incredible actress and then devote herself to that, like, she could. I don't put anything past her. I think she's capable of whatever.
I mean, the Verizon commercial is something that she did not have to do.
It was in her top five best performances, I think.
She was giving, like, grounded comedy, dare I say?
She was holding her own with Emmy Award winner Tony Hale, one of the greats.
He is one of the greats.
There's no question.
There's just no question. We're not being facetious here.
Can I say thank God for us? Because can I say what we're doing today? Character actors to the front.
Yes.
We are saying Tony Hale. We are saying Kristen Johnston. We are saying Beyonce Knowles. The three character actors of our generation. And thank God, on my birthday, God, a character actor.
You think you're a character actor?
I don't think I'm a leading man.
I think you're leading man material, sir.
Girl, you're just too kind. You're the leading man.
No, girl.
I've been thinking about you a lot lately because I've been trying to think of fun things for us to do in different environments.
Oh, interesting. Funny you should say that. Well, more later.
Maybe.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly,
bubbly bursts.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
For your next project, check out Canva's Magic Design. Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. To start with a prompt, describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. Choose your favorite style, customize your content, and your deck is done. It's a serious time saver and the perfect way to get a head start on your slides. No more app switching. Stay focused on the presentation task at hand with AI power inside your presentations. Canva also has Magic Write. Magic Write is easy to learn and easy to use. Might be the easiest AI text generation tool you've ever used. If you can use a computer, you can confidently generate text in seconds with Magic Write. Work docs have been the same for too long. Canva docs are different. They're visual. Grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Docs don't have to be just words on a page. Make your work docs pop with Canva docs. Canva is designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task, sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
Wait, so I do want to know about the Sydney Sweeney of it all. I really do.
Yes.
What was she like? What were vibes? We're, of course, talking about these little bits and jokes we're doing, because Bowen is gay, you guys. Like,
of course.
We would not lie to you about that.
No.
At least I wouldn't be part of a lie like that. You know what I mean?
No, like, no. I would never rope you into that kind of lie.
Right. Like, you know, I could be the Robin Tigger Giselle in many ways, but not for this
one. Oh, no. Do not call me Giselle. I am not anywhere near that kind of demonic. She is a succubus. I'm so sorry. There is hell in her soul. Okay, sorry, keep going.
Okay, well, before we get into the Sydney Sweeney of it all, so Potomac is like ending now, like it's like wrapping up, and Andy Cohen was on Kelly Clarkson with Wendy and Candace.
I watched that. It was delightful.
And you know that had to chap the Green Eyed Bandits' ass because they were so charming.
They were lovely.
Like Candace and Wendy were so great on the show, and I was just like, you know what? Like, maybe this is a sign.
This is the way forward, though. I mean, like, they are enough without those women to just, like, hold it down, charm an audience. Candace had a lovely sense of humor about her social media presence.
Yeah.
Wendy was so lovely. Wendy was just being charming, but also very honest about her upbringing, like, in the way that she always is. I loved it. I root for those women all the time, as well as Karen.
They were adorable. They were great. And guess who also was on? So it was like Andy was on Kelly and then he brought out Wendy and Candace and then tickle me till I laugh. Yesterday, I'm on YouTube and I see Karen Huger on Kelly Clarkson. And it was just Karen. She came out, she sat right next to Kelly and they kiki'd. It's just so funny whenever like NBC Universal makes Kelly have a housewife on because you can tell she just doesn't.
Has no idea who these people
it's
are.
It's not her thing. Like,
no problem.
Whatever, but it's so funny because Karen was talking like everyone in the audience was a super fan of Potomac. Karen was like, well, you all know my kids are grown now and, you know, they're 36 and 26 and, you know, Raven. And Kelly's just sitting there like,
I might be to blame for this.
Yeah, like, it's just so funny. Like, whenever Kelly, like, you can just tell when she, like, is really, really, really a huge fan of something and when she has no idea. Because she goes like this. When she's actually into something, she can barely contain herself and, like, launches into it and, like, doesn't ask, like, how are you? She's like, I want to talk about this.
Yes.
And then when she doesn't know what the person is there for or who they are, she'll say to Karen Huger, like, so I heard you grew up on a farm. That's so cool. Tell me about that.
Listen, I would not be able to do that job.
It's hard.
Can we just give some credit? It's a very difficult, like, how do these people rattle off the segment producer's notes? Okay, next you're going to bring up the farm and then you're going to bring up the trip to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah. I can't hold all this at once.
And also, like, I think about, like, the amount of things they probably are sent to watch.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, we do this show once a week and barely have guests anymore, but, like,
we still get sent stuff.
Well, yeah, but, like, one of the things that, like, I think keeps us from having so many guests is, like, you want to do right by them. And, like, we always read the book. We're Sonny Hostin coded.
We're Sonny Hostin coded.
But it gets to be a lot even once a week. Can you imagine every day? And also, some of those shows get shot, like, two times a day. You know, that's, like, a lot of media to consume.
What we're saying is TV hosts are our heroes. And they should be awarded medals by the military, which is the best organization in the world.
Oh, they should win the Military Award for Excellence. Military Award for Excellence in TV.
New category just dropped for the Culture Awards.
Military Award for excellence in TV.
Now, stay tuned. We have some more information about the Culture Awards this year.
Yes, we do.
Very excited.
We do. Let's just say, rain, rain, go away. Come again another day.
Let's just say we won't have to worry about a thunderstorm warning in New Jersey that would potentially shut down our show.
Did we spill the tea about that at the time? I think we did.
I think we did.
Yeah.
We almost didn't do Culture Awards last year because of a thunderstorm in New Jersey, which is not in Manhattan, but also, I guess it's close enough. People were doing their jobs. People were keeping people safe. We're not begrudging them of that.
No, it was all above board in terms of them being like, hey, we have to go inside because if lightning strikes the stage, like, y'all are fried to a damn crisp. You're going to be two gay piles of dust.
Period.
Two gay piles of dust.
Two gay piles of dust. Title of that.
Title of that.
Title of that.
But what was funny was we were in the middle of rehearsing Eighth World Wonder, like, 7 days and 7 nights of thunder. And they were like, go inside, you're going to get hit by lightning. And we're like, oh my God, seriously?
Okay.
Like, the spirits of Kimberly Locke, like, rumbling in the sky is like, whoa.
Kimberly, we thank you. I think Kimberly saved us that day.
She did. She did. I think the gods knew that Eighth World Wonder needed its renaissance.
Period. But then what do you make of the Karen and Wendy and Candace on Kelly thing? Does that mean they're going to break? I think Giselle and Robin are probably yelling at someone now at their teams to get them on.
I'm just going to say the tea that I heard.
Okay.
This is the tea that I heard. I'm not going to say how I heard it.
Okay.
I heard there was no resolution at the reunion and there needed to be. That's what I heard. I heard that there is no forward movement for the factions that needed to come together. And so, therefore, something has to happen. That's the tea that I heard.
Right. And so in that, when I hear that, I go, well, then someone is misunderstanding what it means to be on a show.
On the show.
On a conflict-driven show like The Housewives, where you do have to sort of turn those over. You cannot stay in it too long.
Or it just got too fucking ugly. You know what I mean? Like,
because it was ugly to begin with, because we're dealing with ugly people on one side.
Here's what I'll say. Even if I'm on a television show, I don't know if I go out of my way to forgive someone who so recklessly, and this is both on the part of Wendy and Candace, because they both faced this by Giselle and co, but anyone who so recklessly tried to not just, like, come for, but, like, irrevocably damage my
marriages,
husband or mother. In the case of, like, Wendy, like, I don't know that I, just for a show, forgive them. Whereas I don't think when you flip it around to the other side, the things that have been said about, like, Giselle and Robin, like, are as damaging and bad. But what Giselle is doing now is she's trying to play it like she's been wronged in an equal way.
No fucking way.
And that's incorrect.
No fucking way. Oh, God. I really, really hate that woman.
you,
I really do.
You and the word hate.
I don't apply it to a lot of people. I don't hate people that I come into conflict with.
Mm-mm. You just couldn't be bothered.
I couldn't be bothered. And I honestly do try to like make, I do what every housewife should do, which is to try to find resolution. Period.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
For your next project, check out Canva's Magic Design. Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. To start with a prompt, describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. Choose your favorite style, customize your content, and your deck is done. It's a serious time saver and the perfect way to get a head start on your slides. No more app switching. Stay focused on the presentation task at hand with AI power inside your presentations. Canva also has Magic Write. Magic Write is easy to learn and easy to use. Might be the easiest AI text generation tool you've ever used. If you can use a computer, you can confidently generate text in seconds with Magic Write. Work docs have been the same for too long. Canva docs are different. They're visual. Grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Docs don't have to be just words on a page. Make your work docs pop with Canva docs. Canva is designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task, sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
I mean, while we're... I guess we kind of can't really talk. Can we talk about the drama? There's been a lot of drama.
Can you... I know about the Brandy stuff. I was honestly asked about this yesterday in press about the Leah stuff. And I was like, this is the God's honest truth. I was like, I did not read the post. I don't exactly know what's going on with the Leah stuff to have an opinion on it.
There's like a series of lawsuits right now against Bravo and like all these production companies and even Andy himself, basically coming from all different kinds of places. There's like a legal situation with Leah McSweeney. There's a legal situation with Brandi Glanville. There's a legal situation with Caroline Manzo. There's now a lawsuit from Rachel Levis against Tom Sandoval and Ariana Maddox for revenge porn and like distribution of revenge porn. There's also obviously like the Bethany Frankel reality reckoning of it all. There was the dropped lawsuit from NeNe Leakes that alleged racial discrimination. There's a lot going on. And what I'll say is that any single time, and I'll speak for myself, any single time I have been on Watch What Happens Live, involved in anything with any of these companies, like when you go on Watch What Happens Live, like there's obviously alcohol, right? That's like part of it. You are asked every time if you want a drink, if you'd like another drink, you say yes or no. Yes. They're not like, oh, it's better if you drink. They never say that. They never make it seem like you have to do anything. We're friends with Andy personally. I have never, ever, ever been offered anything like drugs. It's getting crazy to me. And a lot of hearsay, like her alleging that Leah McSweeney alleges that Andy Cohen offers cocaine to housewives and then gives them a better edit if they do it. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. And I will say for myself, The Brandy thing, I'm like reading the details and it seems like, it seems really weird in a legal context how much that holds water.
Yeah.
Because from what I understand, Brandy is saying that this is sexual harassment that Andy was like jokingly on a FaceTime with her with Kate.
Kate Chastain, yeah.
Kate Chastain. What is it like being like?
I think what they're saying is that I guess Andy and Kate Chastain either FaceTimed Brandy or sent her a message. And Andy said in the message, like, Kate and I are having sex tonight and we'll be thinking of you. It's something like that. Like some sort of like joke that, yes, obviously a boss should not make to his right. employee, certainly.
Right.
And I guess like it is a little bit of like a looser atmosphere because he does play a certain, an interesting role in that he is like administrative, but also like of the people in a way. That's like why they love Andy. Like, you know,
like it's, he is it's so, among them.
Right. But at a certain point, it's like, when are we leaning into just things we've had in the past in order to move anything forward? And what is actually harmful here? And let me also say, I don't want any of these women to be in situations where they feel
uncomfortable,
this low, where they feel uncomfortable, where they feel pressured, etc. And I don't know the situations that happen, but it's true what you're saying. Like when you read like what is actually in these lawsuits, I'm struggling to see how like he is responsible for it or like how, but I guess these facts will come out if there are facts. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. But Brandy is an interesting case. Not even interesting. It's like she's on camera, like,
yeah,
sexually being a little bit troublesome with her co-stars. You know, it's like there's documented, I mean, like there's a case against her for being very inappropriate with her coworkers who have not taken legal action against her.
Yeah.
The power dynamic is different there, obviously, because she's not anyone's boss in these situations. And Andy is.
But right.
Also, I don't know personally, and I have no legal knowledge or experience in this at all. So this is completely disqualifying for me to even have an opinion on this. But like, it's Brandy. It's like, this is someone who is retaliatory and manipulative. And obviously she has her dignity. She's entitled to that dignity, but she is also someone who like doesn't care about other people's in a lot of ways.
Well, I feel like what's happening now actually is everyone on the cast of this Ultimate Girls Trip show that got shelved because they shot a whole season in Morocco.
Right.
With like Caroline Manzo, Brandy Glanville, Phaedra is on it. Alex McCord, Camille Grammer, like Gretchen Rossi, like it's like they kind of got the greats for this Morocco girls trip. And now they're not showing it because allegedly something happened in a bathroom where Caroline Manzo felt sexually violated and harassed by
Brandy.
But Caroline is not suing her. She's mm-hmm. suing Bravo, Peacock, I think all these administrative, like executive level, because she's saying that what they do is they encourage sexual mm-hmm. harassment and abuse mm-hmm. for ratings, which to me is like such a big thing to say. And like, how do you prove that?
Mm.
But I will also say 4 or 5 lawsuits is too fucking many.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel like either there's a problem for sure mm-hmm. or this is like orchestrated in a larger way and is like more nefarious. And I think to myself all the time, like, are you trying to protect this thing in your head because it's something you enjoy? In which case, like, get over yourself, check yourself. Like, if there's a problem here, like, see it.
Right.
But, you know, it's hard to read these
right.
allegations and be like, at what point does your personal responsibility come in here? Like, at what point are you going to take accountability for, I have a problem with alcohol, I know I'm susceptible to these types of things, I shouldn't put myself in a situation that is not good for me? Like, at what point is that?
Yeah. And the Leah thing is very complicated because of her own sobriety journey.
Right.
That kind of seemed to be compromised as soon as she was on Roni. Right?
Yeah. Well, she claims that she relapsed the week she was called. So she relapsed, mm-hmm, was called mm-hmm. for Roni, said yes. Yeah. And then as we know, if you're a fan of her first season, she was drinking. And I remember what I liked about Leah McSweeney the first season she was on Housewives is I liked that she seemed like a different flavor of New Yorker. She seemed like someone who like said whatever the fuck she wanted to say. She was younger. She seemed like a new generation. I liked the dichotomy between her and the older cast. Like, I liked that she was in fashion. She was cool. She was gorgeous. She was funny. Like, there was a lot about her that I really liked and felt fresh. When I didn't like her was when she acted completely unhinged when she was drunk because she obviously had a problem. She's out here saying now that she feels that was what was good about her first season and they held it against her that she stopped drinking. I would argue that Leah lost me when she went off the deep end. And I think a lot of people would say the same thing.
Right. I mean, we obviously have our biases here as we're talking about this in our experience with the Bravoverse and our experiences like at Watch What Happens in terms of us being served alcohol is not necessarily, it can't be totally reflective of what these women go through.
Right.
I am thinking like, I do kind of think there's something orchestrated about this on like a higher level where like maybe a Bethany is like,
that's what I think too.
Setting this into motion personally.
There's something weird about it because it's coming on the heels of like the Reality Reckoning kind of flopping because she kind of had nothing. Whereas like now there's like real course of action that's going to be followed. Mm-hmm. What I'll say ultimately is that all these lawsuits kind of drown each other out, but ultimately it all ends up in something that's like not a good look.
No, of course.
And therefore like it needs to be looked at. It needs to be like figured out because you just don't want people feeling like this.
No.
And if people feel like this and it's not in bad faith, then there's an issue. But like,
right.
I just want to be able to watch these shows and know that everyone's safe doing it.
Yes.
But then again,
yes.
It is reality TV. And that is also a thing. It's like, can you trust someone like Rachel Levis to put herself in a safe situation? I don't know. Like she may not know what that is. And therefore it's like, it does feel a little ugly. And one thing I'll say is I was watching the Beverly Hills Reunion last week and Anna Marie, who I didn't love on the show, but was sitting there and she was talking about how as a result of being on the show, it was the worst, hardest year of her life. And, you know, so many things happened and she felt like really depleted and looked broken. And he asked about the online reaction to her and something about the way that she energetically was at that reunion based around like the online harassment she had faced made me feel like
something's wrong here.
Something doesn't feel right. Yeah. Like I felt really sad and I was like, ugh, am I going to have to take a little bit of a break from this stuff? Because I also saw what you posted yesterday on your story, and that made me think, too, about you talk about that.
I posted a reel from Podcast Deluxe, wonderful podcast. John Caramanica was talking about how, like, he is not really okay with TikTok anymore because it's, like, to be served an endless scroll of things that the algorithm thinks you like is like soul deadening. It's like, it's not actually giving you the grist, I guess, or whatever. There's a better word. It's not giving you the material you need to be consuming in order to like be a human being. Like it kills a part of you to only see things constantly over and over again that like are meant to be for you and yet sometimes aren't and sometimes they're upsetting and sometimes it's, I mean, like that's just like social media writ small, I guess, is like this idea that it is, I mean, all these apps that we're using now, this is not exactly what you're talking about with Housewives and Bravo, but it's like everything we're being served now is like, it's like we're at the shopping mall. It's like,
yeah.
And a lot of people who are creators do come off as like QVC people,
yeah.
Speaking of, I love that for you, like come off as like infomercially and like you kind of have to rethink this whole thing of like, oh, I am just, it's like Sudi Green telling you in college, like look at the Pepsi, look at the Coke cans or whatever.
Cans,
it's like, but it's like now the Pepsi cans are like right in our faces, you know, they're being shoved in our faces. And that's how like transparent it's gotten.
I think what makes it hard to see is that the Pepsi cans are always in your faces, and sometimes they change. Yeah. And sometimes it's just hard to look at your environment and be like, wait, hold on. And I think like it was during that Beverly Hills reunion that I was just like, hold on. Am I desensitized a little bit? Because I keep watching these shows and I'm so used to conflict. It's like white noise for me in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, would I even be able to see it if something was wrong? And I was sitting there watching her and I was like, again, like I wasn't a huge fan of her performance on the first season, but I'm watching it and I'm just like, am I in this atmosphere too much at this point? Like, is it a little oversaturated? Like, did we fly too close to the sun with this for now? And so I might just like take a little bit of a break.
Sure, that's healthy. That's healthy.
Even listening to myself talk right now, I'm like hearing myself say like, you know, like, we don't want these women to be in dangerous positions, but also, like, I don't want to get, like, what did they expect? Like, that's gross.
No. We're not saying that. And us even talking about this is a little, is not us, like, questioning, like, anything about what legal action they're taking. We're just saying that, like, this is a hugely entangled situation that has a lot going on and has people's humanity and dignity like ripped into it. And like, are these kinds of shows like, I think knowingly, I think we all understand that these shows kind of exploit that on some level. And that's not like us like defying whatever the mission of these shows are. I think that is just kind of worked into like reality TV as a whole, as a collective. Like even if you go on Survivor or on The Traitors, there's a dignity that is a little bit at toll there.
Absolutely. I mean, if someone were to say something crazy about you and it was damaging, but could also be used as story, like they would do that because you've allowed them to do that. You've willfully signed up for that, which is why like you wouldn't do a show like that. Because like, for example, like, let's just say Bowen and I actually were reached out to about The Traitors. Like, would it be in our best interest to say, yes, here are our images, do with them what you want? No, it wouldn't be in our best interest. But for some people, they make a different decision.
Like, I've even had pretty brain scrambling experiences working at my job where I am like presenting a version of myself to people to be evaluated and to be like commented on. And like, I roll at this, but like, I'm really lucky and proud and happy that Bowen Straight got made as a way of sort of like winking at the audience and as a way of kind of like making light of this, like this really confounding thing that I think people have with me being a gay man, like them kind of ascribing that as like a character choice, that like it's all I can do. And I'm like, no, you guys don't get it. Like, I don't think there's such a thing as like gay humor. I don't think gay humor is specific to queer people or queer humor is specific to queer people. It should be, if it's good, it should be for everybody. But I think in terms of subject matter, I love writing about queer things. And I like writing about sexuality. And I like writing about finding the different ways in. Like, it's Truman Capote being a gay man who hates women talking about women. Or it's me being straight. Or it's me being like a pop star, iceberg, I mean, whatever. It's like there are all these different ways in, and yet people still create a dimensionless point out of that and go, well, that's just like a bad part of who he is. And like, that is something that like is completely soul crushing in its own way. If you're any version of yourself on a TV show or like putting yourself out there for mass consumption, and like these women experience it on such a weird, distorted scale. Like, anytime we go on Watch What Happens, we're all like, whoa, like, the people who like talk about us are some real fucking weirdos. I'm sorry to say, some weird fucking people are out there. And we just deal with them like once every few months. These are people who deal with them every day, every week.
Right.
And I can't imagine what that does to their psyche and or how that informs their relationship with the network or with the shows that they're on, with their jobs, with their life. I mean, like what I said yesterday in press was like, all I can say is like, let's not forget that this is people's jobs and this kind of like is in the air for them. So I don't really know exactly what's happening with everybody, but it seems like let's just remember that as we talk about it. Anyway, that was kind of like a cop-out answer, but
I will say I do feel that if Andy Cohen were to offer two people cocaine, it would be us, and he hasn't. I was thinking about it. I'm like, we have such a blast at that show. Like, whenever we're on, it feels like family vibes. Like, and then I just feel like, who's he offering cocaine to if not us?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
hell of a drug.
Also, if you've been offered cocaine, oh, but Leah's saying like she's been offered cocaine and like,
this doesn't make any sense.
Well, Leah's saying that she's been offered cocaine and that if she doesn't accept, then she gets
She'll get a worse edit on the show. That is, can I say, I like Leah. I've talked to her a couple times personally. I actually like her a lot more in my personal interactions with her than I ever really did on the show. I don't think that could possibly make sense at all. To think, so what if we're walking this through? This is the, I guess, premise here. Andy Cohen loves cocaine so much, you're saying, and needs people around him that are his subordinates to also like cocaine so much that if they don't, he actively punishes them despite the fact that maybe that won't produce the best show. That doesn't make any sense to me. I also don't think he is editing the show. He's not contacting the editors and being like, hey, listen, we need so-and-so to get a bad edit. Oh, why? Well, they didn't do coke with me? That doesn't make any sense. Andy Cohen is the kind of person, he's wealthy enough, he's connected enough, he can get coke. He can find people to do coke with. He doesn't need your housewives to be doing cocaine with him. And he's not going to punish you for not doing it. I don't think this is a thing. It just doesn't actually make sense.
I can understand the idea that like she feels that cocaine is very much in the culture of these shows on a sort of behind the scenes level. But, like, I don't know.
It calls back to that Kathy Griffin thing. Because remember, she was like, oh, one time he asked me to do coke before a show. And I was so taken aback. And it was like, so that it feels like it's been said once before. But it almost feels like because it was said that one time, it's being thrown out there again as, like, an additive thing to throw on the pile of, like, toxic workplace atmosphere.
Right.
But again, like when you actually think it through logically, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And cocaine is everywhere.
Everyone just take a break from cocaine for a little bit too.
Well, yeah.
Let's just nobody do it. How about that?
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
For your next project, check out Canva's Magic Design. Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. To start with a prompt, describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. Choose your favorite style, customize your content, and your deck is done. It's a serious time saver and the perfect way to get a head start on your slides. No more app switching. Stay focused on the presentation task at hand with AI power inside your presentations. Canva also has Magic Write, Magic Write is easy to learn and easy to use. Might be the easiest AI text generation tool you've ever used. If you can use a computer, you can confidently generate text in seconds with Magic Write. Work docs have been the same for too long. Canva docs are different. They're visual. Grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Docs don't have to be just words on a page. Make your work docs pop with Canva docs. Canva is designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task, sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
Let's talk about Drag Race. Who you like?
Who do I like?
Yeah. Like Plain Jane?
No, I think I've gone on record saying I'm pretty anti-Plain Jane. I'm sorry.
I like Plain Jane as a drag queen. It's just all the other stuff. I'm like, girl, relax.
Lovely drag queen. Very capable drag queen. Relax. Just relax. And actually, you're just being mean and not even, like, this is not the right word, and I hate that I'm using this word. You're not being witty, which is to say that, like, you're not being fun about it. She thinks she is, and I think that that's all coming from an insecurity that she's expressed that she has, which, join the fucking club of humanity. Like,
yeah.
I might do my own thing so many on people saying they're insecure and feeling that is unique. Like, we're all insecure.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, sorry I was a vicious, evil person. I'm just insecure.
Sorry I was a vicious, evil person who, like, diminished your humanity because I experienced something universal. That doesn't give you a way out. Anyway, I mean, the Boston thing, the Russian thing, I know Katya's not Russian, but, like, it's just, I'm sorry, like, I can't, it's only giving an echo of Katya to me, and she is one of our greatest.
Ever.
Our greatest, period.
Ever, ever.
I didn't think that Snatch Game performance was that, although I guess it was the best out of all of them. That was a pretty rough Snatch Game, I will say.
Yeah. I don't think it was one of the shining Snatch Games.
And we're saying this as people who are, at this point, we are aware every season going into Snatch Game, the expectations are not high.
Yeah.
Because that's what Snatch Game does, is it makes, gets you all excited to, like, but it's, I mean, not all of them can be like All-Star 7, like, where that was just, like, across the board, everyone being amazing.
We've also seen how the sausage is made now, and it's, like, interesting to see how Snatch Game shakes out, and it's fucking hard.
It's so hard.
And especially if that's not what your thing is.
I don't know that I could do it.
Like, and it feels like that these girls, like, that's not really their thing. Like, everyone's like, ugh, I can't believe a third design challenge. It's like, did you want a third performance challenge? Is that what you wanted? Like, based on what we have seen.
Right.
Did you want another performance or acting right. challenge or whatever it is? Like, I think it's good. They're obviously leaning into, like, what these girls are good at. And we saw Plasma, like, win all these performance challenges and do great. Like, I feel like we've seen the excellence in terms of performance. I think we've seen. And yes. Now it's like, you know, we're looking at what we have here. And it's like, I think the more compelling challenges will be design and fashion challenges because of these girls.
Interesting. I said to you yesterday on Instagram, or the other day, sorry, 2 days ago on our live, that Plasma, I think, should be so proud. She turned it out. She showcased what she is amazing at, and she is amazing at it, which is all the performance stuff. Gave, like, a fresh, updated version of, like, what a vintage queen, quote unquote, is. Like, was giving you Jinx kind of in an updated way. Yeah, I really enjoyed her. Best of luck to her. She will be fine.
Yeah. She was definitely in the bottom two and lost the lip sync, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, so people being like, I can't believe Plasma is out. It's like, guys, like, she was for sure in the bottom two and she lost the lip sync.
Yes.
That's how it works.
I think we were just, like, conditioned in the edit to think that she was going to be top four because she was by far the most reliable narrator. They were cutting to her talking head the most, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I will say, I think that's because there are only a few super compelling narrators.
Yes.
This year, I think she's one of them and Plain Jane is one of them. And I think Plain Jane's edit really kind of took over the first third of the season. And so they moved it to Plasma, spent a lot of time with her, and now she's gone. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of Plain again. Because, again, these girls are, like, introspective fashion girls. Like, it's almost like season 70 in a way. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it feels like these people are more creative than they are performative.
Which is so funny.
I want to know what you think about, because everyone was talking about how this goth, high fashion goth challenge, the design challenge, people were, like, pretty up in arms on a couple of group chats I was on that Nymphia didn't win that.
Uh-huh.
And I was interested about your take on the Nymphia versus Q of it all.
I think, was this Q's second win? I think, has Nymphia already won too? I think that that's just like a production thing where they're like, let's try to make this more even. Mm. I liked Q's look a lot. Like that back detail was great.
I thought it was definitely the winner hands down.
I thought so. What, Q's?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now Q like took down her socials, which I guess is not as much of like a...
That's insane.
But also like... I can relate to this. Like, at a certain point, you just hit, you hit your break and you're just like, I don't
want... Oh, not that she took it down. The fact that she felt so abused or, like, exposed that she had to take it down, like...
Right, right. I've only taken my stuff down. I've only Selena Gomez when I'm just like, oh, I... Internally, it's not because of any external circumstance. It's just that I'm like, I don't want to deal with this.
I don't want to exist out there for you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And maybe she was going through some of that. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, whatever anyone feels like they need to do, they should do. But I just feel like when I hear that someone had to do that, I would imagine it's because they're being like toxically abused online, which...
Especially on Drag Race, which is another thing of like, oh God, like when we were on All Stars, it was this like a few days of just like the weirdest fucking people being like up in our shit. And I was like, shut the fuck up. Get out of my face. I'm so sick of some of these people.
Most of it was lovely and most of it always is lovely. Totally. And then there is those little things. Like even the other day, like someone got in my DMs and said this long thing that like they were so specifically angry at me for something I had no idea what they were talking about. Mm-hmm, and I'm just like, ugh. I was at dinner with a friend. I was with Jared actually. And I was like, oh God, I'm so distracted by this thing. And he's like, and he picks up my phone and he's like, this is not real. This doesn't matter. I was like, yeah, you're right.
You need to watch Perfect Blue by Satoshi Kon tonight.
Well, there's a lot on my list, honey. I got to watch Irish Wish, the movie with Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, my Lindsay.
Oh, my Lindsay.
Oh, my Lindsay.
She's back again. Whenever Lindsay Lohan makes a comeback, I always feel like on top of the world.
On top of the world. You know, Lindsay is on my list of, this is so annoying, of... women I stan who have followed and then unfollowed me on Instagram.
Really?
You want to know this list? It's kind of sad. Lindsay Lohan, Natalie Portman.
Natalie unfollowed?
Natalie. I think she did like a big purge, like a deep clean on her follows. And I didn't make the cut.
She said Bowen Yang.
But Natalie was, I'm sorry, Natalie was a reliable like for me sometimes on grid.
Really? And then she just...
And then one day I think she was just like, no more.
Natalie Portman feels to me like someone we could get on the show and confront about this.
No, I don't want to confront her. I want to leave.
Bowen, she follows 199 people.
I know. I think she did like take the numbers down. I think she was like in the four digits. And then she was like, no. I'm Natalie Portman. I'm not doing that.
Here's who we both follow. Rihanna.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Period. End of list.
Like Rihanna. And then I think it's like Drew Barrymore.
Of course.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's exclusive girl. I mean, Natalie Portman should be exclusive girl. She's Miss Dior, for Christ's sakes. She's Padme.
Padme. Yes. I was going to correct you and say Padma, but no, you're right.
Why would you correct me and say Padma when it's not?
When it's not. Oh, I was going to say earlier, I mean, best sequel of all time is Empire Strikes Back.
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones. I mean, those aliens for Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Right? Was it Boba?
Boba.
Those tall, skinny aliens who like introduce Obi-Wan to Boba Fett.
You are talking right now and I'm ready to do my I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay.
Ah!
This is I Don't Think So, Honey, where we take 1 minute to go off against something in culture that's really chapping our asses. Matt, are you ready?
Yeah.
This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Boba Fett. You're a fucking bitch. You have no friends. You obviously never went to therapy. You didn't get your fucking self together because now what? You're out here like, what? Working for people, doing their dirty work to be a bounty hunter? I hope that you look at your fucking CV, your LinkedIn, you see bounty hunter on it and you feel fucking good at night, bitch. You are so lame. What a toxic, disgusting life that you live, trolling the galaxy, looking space planet to space planet for like, what? to arrest people, do a citizen's arrest on people. You don't even know what these people have done. You have no idea why you want Han Solo. You don't even know why you want him. So why are you ruining lives? Why are you ruining a young relationship just for someone else's bullshit? You work with
15
Siths.
Seconds.
You work with Siths, bitch. I don't think so, honey. You're disgusting. Show your fucking face. How about that? For once in your life, Boba Fett, show your face challenge. You died the way you deserve to die, in the belly of the Sarlacc. Fuck you. I don't think so, honey.
That's 1 minute. Boba Fett was going after Han Solo. I have to correct myself. Jango Fett is his father, who was in Attack of the Clones. And Jango Fett was Attack of the Clones. I just had to correct myself. Thank you for that impassionment.
Well, I absolutely just read his son the house down. I don't know. I just don't want to see Boba Fett. Like, I'm so disgusted.
No, I don't think you have to worry about him.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about the Mandalorian? He has his helmet.
Here's the thing. If Pedro Pascal is going to be the star of something, I want to see that face.
I want to see the face. I want to see the bridge of that nose.
Like, I can't believe my guy is so covered up in the show when you realize what exactly is happening underneath the mask. Perfection.
Clark Gable.
I almost just said something really graphic about what I would like to do with Pedro Pascal, and we have to move on.
Okay.
I was getting horny on my birthday.
Guess we're going to have to fight.
It's about to be a what?
A girl fight. Fight.
Gay fight.
Gay fight.
Should the title of the episode be Gay Fight? One word, Gay Fight?
No, we should come up with a song called Gay Fight.
Gay
it should
fight.
Be the sequel to Altercation.
Oh, Altercation.
About to be an altercation.
About to fight with every nation.
It's kind of Rihanna coded.
Sort of. But I do think the title of the episode now is Gay Fight.
Gay Fight. Okay.
Bowen Yang, do you have an I don't think so honey to do?
I did. I think I'm just going to follow through on what I said earlier, because this is really, this pisses me off, this shit.
Fuck. All right. This is Bowen Yang's I don't think so honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Oh, I'm insecure, and that's why I did a bad thing. We're all insecure. No one is not insecure. Maybe your grandmother who fucking survived a terrible societal trauma from decades ago and has had to be so resilient that she has no time to think about, like, where she fits into society. But even and especially the fucking fitness people who are, like, getting fucked every which way, every day of the week, who go, well, I'm toxic. I'm not saying all fitness people are toxic, but I'm saying the ones who are like, who happen to be like rotten packages are like, oh, but I'm insecure. I'm actually insecure. Yeah, I know that, hun. That is the human condition, baby. Rejection is universal as well.
Five
We've just
seconds.
Experienced it on different scales and different levels and different forms. Don't use that as a way to act out and act unright.
And that's 1 minute. It's true. It's I'm insecure is not like a big reveal.
No.
like I'm so sorry. The reason why I did that actually is because I'm insecure is like
it doesn't give you new dimension. It doesn't give you an extra access. So that's why when someone like Plain Jane is like, I'm actually really insecure, I'm like, well, I don't fucking care. Stop being a fucking cunt, in the words of a mandatory meeting.
My thing is like too, it's like when someone's like, I'm really insecure, I feel like that's because they're like taking advantage of like a coddle culture and like a awareness of mental health culture, which is really necessary. But then they're just like,
but then they're exploiting
using
that
and exploiting that to like get away with really shitty, toxic, harmful behavior because they think they can say this thing that is now universal. It's like a get out of jail free card.
Oh, but mental illness, like, people are actually mentally ill.
Right.
And you might be as well on some level, but we have to figure out what is acceptable.
What if Plain Jane was like, I'm really sorry I've been so mean. I'm incredibly mentally ill.
Then you should not be on this television show.
I also bet that like, well, again, there's the editing of it all, which like, blame it on the edit, but like that is also a thing. It's
for
like
Plain.
No, I'm saying like for anyone that's on reality TV, it's like
yeah.
Yes, it's an excuse, sure, but it's also real. I mean, like you are being edited into a caricature of yourself to suit a narrative purpose. Like that is true. Like I can't imagine. Like I actually would wonder. Like these villains on these shows, like do they sit back and they are like, wow, look at me, I'm a really effective function on this show. Or is it, I fucking hate myself, I can't believe this? Or is it kind of both?
I don't know. That's why, like, the Tiffany Pollards of the world are really special, because, like, not once was she like, I'm sorry, I'm such a bitch. I am.
I'm insecure.
She owned it. She's owned it every single moment she's been on camera.
Yeah.
And you
Tiffany
have
Pollard
to respect.
Would be like, I'm incredibly secure.
Period.
Too secure.
Too secure. The only person who broke Tiffany Pollard was Rain on season one of Flavor of Love, who freaked out at her in the van. And you should go back and watch that episode because it is incredible. And Rain was the one in the back of the van who was like, I am sick of your shit. I am sick of your shit. And then New York starts crying because, like, she doesn't know why this girl is freaking out at her. But it's because she's been mean.
Yeah, taste of her own medicine. Well, that's, I guess, how you ultimately, like, deal with someone whose MO is chaos, is you just bring more chaos.
You just bring more chaos for a moment.
Yeah.
And then you pull back because you cannot actually stay at their level and their frequency, because then you go crazy.
Actually, the definition of chaos.
Right.
Going all the way and then taking all that. Like, that's chaotic. You know what I mean? Like, having an explosive moment and then being like, never mind. Like, that
well,
is
no,
chaotic
no, no,
to
that's,
me.
I'm saying chaotic. As a way to manage someone else's chaos. Don't.
Well, don't.
You're calling me chaotic?
Do I think you're chaotic?
I don't know that you want to. Don't go down this path.
I would say I'm more chaotic than you.
Absolutely.
You really were confident about that.
And that's why we love you. And that's why I love you so much. I'm so happy that you are in all of our lives. We are so lucky to love know you and to love you. Happy birthday, my queen.
Can I get a birthday wish?
Yes.
I want you to sing me my favorite song as the... We end every episode with a song. I want you to sing me my favorite song. And I just for once get to sit back and enjoy the singing.
Am I supposed to know what your favorite song is?
Yeah.
You have so many. What is it?
Bone, what's my favorite song?
I don't know. What is it?
Selena Gomez, single soon.
Okay. I'm picking out this dress, dying on me shoes, because
yes.
I'll be single soon.
Yes.
I'll be single soon. No, I'll be a mess.
Yes.
When I break the news, because I'll be single soon. I'll be single soon. My favorite part, here we go.
I'm a day who I wanna. I had to sing a lot.
Late if I wanna. I'm gonna do what I wanna do. To hear more of that song, listen to Single Soon by Selena Gomez.
That was so good, Bo. Thank you. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.